Hi friends, welcome to the Mama.Wife Life Podcast. I am your hostess Brittany, and each week we'll be Gavin, Reagan, and unpacking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hi.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Tanya.
Arturo.
Oh, Arthur.
So we are talking about something
a range
that
of things, really.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I just watched a new season of Hunting Hitler. And so this one's like Hunting Hitler, the final chapter.
Okay.
And so they have a bunch of individuals that are big in the FBI and whatnot. And so I'll just read out their names. So there's Tim Kennedy, Robert Burr. I think that's how he says his name. Lenny DePaul, James Holland, Mike Simpson, and Gerard Williams. I think I said that correctly. So they all are searching for Hitler, and they go back and they trace his steps, and they go back to like where he actually was and to his like hideouts. And as they start going across where they think that he went, you start finding little snippets of the Nazi. So like the one area that they went to, the lights. So you know how when we have light bulbs and they have the little wicky thingy?
The filament?
That's what it's called. Yeah. So they would go and they would find these places, and the lights inside of them is the Nazi symbol. And it's not in Germany. It's like somewhere completely different.
Okay.
And so they're saying that they were trying to get the Fourth Reich, and now they have started to look at the idea that Lee Harvey Oswald was actually good friends with a gentleman that was part of Hitler's group. And they believe that they actually ordered the hit on JFK to try and start World War III. And now they're saying that they want the history books rewritten because they have actual knowledge.
They actually have evidence.
It actually has been proven that he didn't die.
That's really
very interesting.
A little bit.
It's like, I think a lot of people always knew that he probably faked his own death.
Well, there was certainly concern that he had,
mm-hmm.
And it was difficult to prove that he had had actually killed himself. Although that was very much the thing that was done at the time,
mm-hmm.
You know, and we're also pre DNA for a lot of it. I thought that they had found like dental records of him and Eva Braun.
I don't think that they...
Well, hold on. I'll read what Wiki says about it.
Okay, yeah.
Conspiracy theories about Adolf Hitler's death contradict the accepted fact that he committed suicide in the Führerbunker on the 30th of April, 1945. Most of these theories hold that Hitler and his wife, Eva Braun, survived and escaped from Berlin. While these theories have received some exposure in popular culture, these viewpoints are regarded by historians and scientific experts as disproven fringe theories.
Interesting.
The narrative that Hitler did not commit suicide but instead escape with his wife was first presented to the public by Marshal Georgi Zhukov at a press conference on 9th of June 1945, mm-hmm. on orders from Soviet leader Joseph Stalin. When asked at the Potsdam conference in July 1945 how Hitler had died, Stalin said he was either living in Spain or Argentina.
Yes.
In July 1945, British newspapers repeated comments from a Soviet officer that a charred body discovered by the Soviets was a very poor double. American newspapers also repeated dubious quotes, such as that of the Russian garrison commandant of Berlin, who claimed that Hitler had gone into hiding somewhere in Europe. The disinformation propagated by Stalin's government has been a springboard for various conspiracy theories. Despite the official conclusion by Western powers and the consensus of historians that Hitler killed himself on 30th of April 1945, It even caused a minor resurgence in Nazism during the Allied occupation of Germany. And then it goes on. I won't go into it. But that's basically it.
Yeah, but they have found so much information, and they have basically followed this trail that they've just found. Like, it's just something that, like they've come in and they found, like, housing or like a camp type thing that was like deep in the bush, and in this house you could see there's like Nazi symbols and stuff like that, and where it's all, you should just watch it. It's really
fascinated.
Good.
I would like to watch it,
because I'm not.
I do know
that
there were a bunch of German officers and stuff that did escape to
100%, yeah,
to Argentina and
yeah,
all sorts
they were
of things
hunting
like
them up until a few years ago. Yeah. I think they found another one that had still survived. And
you might want to put that down there because it's making a lot of noise.
Which is
your mic?
That's all right. How's that?
He's got to be different.
No, different or difficult?
Yes. Yes. You've met him then. Yeah.
They're teasing me, I think.
He doesn't know if we're teasing him.
They are wearing tracksuit pants and I'm wearing jeans.
I'm wearing, you know, pajamas. What?
That's probably why you can't sit still, because you're wearing jeans.
I can sit still.
No, you can't. You're fidgeting.
He's fidgeting. Hear him fidgeting? Can everybody hear him fidgeting?
You know, Hitler was survived, you know.
All right. He's trying to bring us back on topic here we don't tease him.
That's all right. They can tease me.
Yeah. So I should try and find some clips, because they did so much research because they couldn't believe that he didn't die. Like, because these guys, like, they work. Like, so I will find I'll find the guy here, because the one guy, he worked for the military.
So where is he now if he's still alive?
Oh, he's
and why hasn't he resurged since there was an attack on Washington and all this
because
sort of business?
He's got to be gone by now.
He's going to be super old.
I'm curious as to why somebody with such narcissistic and megalomaniac drive just quietly went off and hid somewhere,
because
in the same country that he was from. Like, that seems really, really suspicious to me.
Because he didn't just go and be quiet, because they interview these people that are in their 90s that were young, and they're like, he was here. Like, there's this castle, and they're like, yeah, they would bring him in here, and he would go down in the back, and we, like, it's a very well, this, like, known thing in these parts of the world. It's just people don't. And it's like everywhere that they go to go and search for clues, it's all in very strategic places that were like, he had one way in, one way out. Everything was like a planned. Okay, so you're going to go here to here to here. Like, it's very interesting when you start to watch it.
See, I tell you why I don't go for it is because.
Okay, you tell me why.
Yeah. So there was this Japanese soldier that continued fighting the war.
Okay.
And I think it went into the 70s, might have been even into the 80s. He kept fighting this war. He was like a Japanese soldier that was stuck on Philippines or one of those sort of Southeast Asian countries that the Japanese had held and fought a guerrilla war. And every time they tried to sort of connect with him, they'd always managed to find a reason why, you know, whatever evidence they were presented was fake. So they sent pictures of their family and all this sort of stuff, but they were in, like, new houses, and they didn't know that, or they didn't understand that there was a massive bomb that was dropped on
Hironada, right?
Yeah, Hironada.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy was running around blowing shit up, annoying the local peasants with violence and all sorts of stuff, fighting this war, until one day in the 80s, this one Japanese student sort of finished college and said, oh, I'm going off to do this thing and that thing, and I'm going to find Hiro Onada. And everybody's like, yeah, nobody's ever talked him out of whatever he's into, you know.
Because they knew he was there. They just couldn't convince him the war was over.
Yeah, like they wouldn't leave him be. And so eventually he did. Now, if they can, if one college student can get in contact with a Japanese bloke that's still fighting the Second World War, like why didn't anyone ever find Hitler? Like someone was smart enough to do it.
Now and that
they, do you know what I mean?
That I can probably tell you.
Go for it.
The reason was they knew where Hiro Onoda was. They knew what he was doing, and they even knew who he was because they could account for the fact that he was there. What they couldn't do was convince him. So there had been other sightings, other people had talked to him, and like you said, they showed
you
the news.
You get my point, though.
They showed the photograph.
I understand the details.
So they just basically needed to lure him out and talk to him enough so that he believed them. That's different than maybe Hitler's alive, maybe he's not.
Yeah, but people search for UFOs and search for Bigfoot, which you love, and all that sort of thing. Like, why didn't, like, come on, someone. It doesn't swing by.
They are not through a lot of the Germans that left went through the Red Cross, and the Red Cross would give them a brand new identity, name, all that stuff. And they were actually able to move around and pretended to be monks.
The Red Cross or
the Red Cross.
German Red Cross the Austrian Red Cross?
That's a big
blanket.
That's what they were saying was it was the Red Cross. So whatever what was there, whatever Red Cross, I can look it up. Do you want me to look it up?
No, go ahead. Keep going. I'm the debunker. I'm so suspicious of this.
Because they have now declassified so many documents that now can be out. They show you. This is like the guy that worked for Hitler. Here's his Red Cross new thing. Like, this is what they used to do. Like, and they would pretend to be monks. And they would go...
Like Christian monks, you know?
Yes.
Well, they had to get... Like, certainly people did escape or flee, you know, the consequences of their actions. But I don't know. I haven't found anything credible. Now, I haven't watched the series, but I haven't found anything credible that tells me that he has.
Red Cross in the Vatican helped thousands of Nazis to escape. Thousands. They helped them.
Interesting.
And
what's that from?
The Guardian. There's an encyclopedia on the New York Times. Red Cross admits knowing of the Holocaust during the war. So like that they helped move them out. Like it's documented, like it's there.
Yeah, well, we see the Red Cross as like a whole bunch of British people that went in and helped and stuff. Like that's not what was happening. These were local people who were under the Red Cross banner.
So
it's not right that they did it, but we have to remember that sometimes when people talk about the Red Cross, we think of it in context of our own country.
Oh yes,
and we have to remember that it was in context of Germany.
Yeah, so the Red Cross and the Vatican both helped thousands of Nazi war criminals and collaborators to escape after the Second World War, according to the book that pulls together evidence from the unpublished documents. The Red Cross has previously acknowledged that its efforts to help refugees were used by Nazis. And they would go and they would get new lives. Like they would just give them like new identities.
And which is interesting because that's not actually the Red Cross's job in any way, shape, or form.
But that's how they use them.
So, yeah, I was going to say that's how the Red Cross was being used, but that isn't actually a function of the Red Cross then or now specifically. So if they were doing it, there may have been people in the Red Cross that did that, but that wasn't actually like a service they provided if you clicked on their website. So, you know what I mean?
By comparing lists of wanted war criminals.
That makes me laugh. Hey, if you want to escape your Nazi regime, click here.
Yeah, by comparing lists of wanted war criminals to travel documents, Britain and Canada alone inadvertently took in around 8,000 former WAFEN-SS members in 1947, many on the base of valid documents issued mistakenly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure yeah, that so happened all the time.
I mean, if you
yeah.
if you were if you yeah. were a, I mean, if anybody, I guess then maybe now, whatever, but if you had a continued war and you could see that it was coming to an end, if you were smart, you would have figured a way out of it.
You're so getting out. You're getting your
Hitler's
family out.
Yeah. Hunchmen fled justice after a significant insight into the Vatican thinking, particularly because its own archives beyond 1939 are still closed. They haven't even opened up.
Yeah, there's
that.
A bunch of stuff in yeah. the in the.
You know, a lot also of the things thing are is closed because people could still
and
be alive.
Italy was and an ally the Vatican as well. So
yeah. Yeah,
and the Vatican refuses to even comment on it, but like the
because they might have to have some restitution and it would cost them money. Is that controversial?
There's a bunch of stuff they're responsible for.
The Vatican Refugee Commission war crimes were knownly provided with false identities. The Red Cross, overwhelmed by millions of refugees, relied on the Vatican references and often allied with the military so they just relied on the Vatican.
Can you imagine how easy it was to falsify anything back then, really? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean,
oh yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not the same. They don't have the same securities and stuff like that.
No, exactly.
So it says, as I'm looking here, so documents indicate that the Red Cross, mostly in Rome, issued at least 120,000, and that was 90% of the Nazis fled via Italy, Spain, North and South America, and also Argentina.
Yeah, because you hear a lot of stories that come out of there. I don't know why we hear more that come out of there specifically, but maybe because it's distant enough from North America to not
Argentina?
Make an accusation. You know
is,
what
is
I mean?
Is that what you mean, Argentina?
Yeah, you hear a lot
I don't
of
know.
It.
I'm wondering if they were spotted and they were a little bit. I think there was also a period of time when Argentina wasn't far off from what the Nazi regime was at one particular time in their history.
Oh, interesting.
Which is why
they
were able to
kind of live there.
Yeah, there was some sort of.
There certainly are movies where they talk about them. Yeah, you know, you always see that in Nazi movies. They're always in Argentina.
There was some politically akin thing. It might have been the socialism.
I feel really ignorant
aspect.
That I don't know that. I feel like I have to go and
I read this ages ago, and I'm not up to date. But
so it was the German Red Cross. I just wanted to.
There you go. Yeah. That makes a whole lot of sense.
So, so we're not taking hits at the
no,
Red
no,
Cross.
No. But that's what I just wanted to confirm. That so it was in between 1933 and 1945. The German Red Cross was very close with Hitler's murderous crimes.
Well, that was the other thing. He probably would have had they would have had a sway over the German Red Cross at that point anyway.
Oh, so
you do what we say, or we blow your shit up, or something.
And
you
stuff.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I believe that he probably escaped because the amount of stuff that when that's what you guys are going to do this week is you're going to watch these shows.
I will. We will have to watch these shows.
When you start to look and see, he didn't just like go and disappear. They were on a mission. Like, they found a place that was actually producing heavy water.
Okay.
Heavy water is used for big bombs.
Yes.
And it was known and documented.
We saw a show about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, this place was known as a Nazi place. Where
right.
They, yeah, right. And so like.
These are Northern Europe countries.
Yeah.
Where this
and,
was.
Yeah. The places that they go to in these shows are beautiful, by the way. Like, I just want to, can I be a part of Hunting Hitler too, please? Just so I can go and sit there and maybe drink a few alcohol beverages and talk to people.
Remember, he had taken over a lot of Europe too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, not usually willingly been taken over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's really, really, really interesting when you start to think about the stuff that he did and the fact that if he didn't die, from what they were looking at, they're like, we don't realize exactly how close we were to them actually succeeding.
Yeah, they never would have done it.
Yep, England would have never let it happen.
They had a lot of trouble crossing over to England, and the problem with the Nazi war technique is that they took over too many countries too fast and weren't able to maintain its power over everybody. Mm-hmm. The French kicked up a fuss. They never sat down. They were never able to control insurgents.
This is true.
So, yeah, I mean, if I was Hitler and I wanted to take over a country, I would have taken them over a year apart, something like that. I would have taken over Poland, settled it, made sure that I had insurgency under control. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
The problem was he was taking them over and then trying to ethnically cleanse them, and people aren't stupid. So people were like, you may not do this. So that was part of it, is that it wasn't even a matter of, we're just taking you over now, you have a new government.
Well, they didn't. I suppose they did.
They were going through and they were doing horrifying things.
Well, they had a group that came in after the invasion. They had the infantry that came through and, you know, took over. And then they had another group that came into those villages and towns called the something Gruppenstrafe. I can't remember what it was. It was. They were specifically went out to find and hunt down Jews and shoot them.
Yep, I know.
Massive grave. And there's footage of it. It's incredible.
I know. That's what happened to a lot of my family.
But that's the thing. It's like there's no military sense. There's no military sense in taking over one country and then a month later moving on to the next one. It doesn't make any sense. You are not that good. Nobody is that good to be able to do that.
Well,
not one country.
He was.
How long has it taken? How long has it taken for, you know, the U.S. to deal with Iraq? They haven't.
They haven't, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's still 10 years and they
don't even get me started on that.
They haven't even gotten anywhere. So, you know, I mean, if they had settled that, there's no way. The way that they were doing their things, there's no way they could have succeeded in what their plan was. It's just a physical impossibility.
Well, and England wasn't going to stand for that
either. And then they took on two fronts as well, which was they fought the Russians off and then they fought up to the Allies on the other side. It's like...
Yeah, and they didn't do it well.
No. Well, I mean, the Russians had cold front war stuff down and the Germans didn't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the German army was getting worn out and tired and stuff on the Russian side. Mm-hmm. Remember, you ever see those Nazi shows? I send you to the Russian front. Mm-hmm. All that sort of comedy stuff. But if they had managed to hold on to those countries a little bit more, we'd all be speaking German in some way. Or Japanese. We are very close. Australia's very close to speaking Japanese.
I mean, battle strategy aside, I'm still, none of this is giving me any evidence
I'm trying to sign on and I can't because
Hitler survived after the war.
My stuff at home.
One of the things that bugs me sometimes about like Discovery Channel and History Channel and stuff like that is they are driven by what their people watching are interested in.
It's a bit sensationalist though.
Right? So they can be, as I'm not saying that all of it is sensational. However, sometimes they go for what the public wants. They always go for what the public wants because that's how mm-hmm. they make money. This is fine. They are allowed to do this. That's how we do it.
And that's just, like, I don't like watching shows and they don't have any proof and they're just kind of like talking. I like to watch shows that show you the old documents that they have found because a lot of things are now becoming declassified. And so I love watching, and that's what this show is but, it shows you a lot of that stuff.
Is what we're seeing actual evidence? So I'll have to see the shows to see it. So you've got, let's say, after the war, you've got people that were Nazi hunters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they looked for years. They were trying to find out where these people went.
Mm-hmm.
So there's files on these people. And whenever something new happens, there's another file on it. So some psycho 90-year-old Nazi war criminal tries to deflect by saying, oh, yeah, and Hitler was here because he wants to make himself even more important. Who knows how many times he's told that story at the bar in Argentina? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is that actually evidence or is that just a document where they've written down what he's said? That's not evidence. That's just him writing down what he's said,
mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about his mental state. We don't know anything about whether or not, like I said, he's just saying it to make himself feel good, trying to make himself look powerful because now he's gone to another country where he's hiding out. Everybody kind of knows who he is because of the accent.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speculation. So he makes sure that he talks about his powerful friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have, if you have powerful friends, they better be alive.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't really say, or maybe he doesn't want to believe that Hitler's dead. So now he's like, oh, yeah. And Hitler came over and we played Canasta like last Tuesday.
Yeah, that's it.
It was
I could
great.
Say that.
And he was
do not cheat at the Canasta or you will be shot.
And then, you know, or they're trying to relive these sickening glory days of it and like, well, yeah, as soon as Hitler comes back, we're all going to get back together and we're going to do this, right? Right? It's like back in the day, you know? That's not evidence. Even if they show you a piece of paper that has that on a TV show, that's not actual evidence that Hitler exists. That's evidence that they talked to somebody about Hitler that included the fact that Hitler may be alive, but that's not actual evidence that Hitler's alive. So is the show capitalizing on the fact that there's a bit of an obsession right now, certainly in North America, maybe parts of North America more than others, where Nazism is like an obsession, is on the rise.
Far right white supremacy stuff is
so how many like we watch it from a we're not white supremacist standpoint, and it's fascinating and it's interesting, and it's like it's we love the horror of it. But if you're a white supremacist, you see that kind of a documentary as hope. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it's meant to be like it's not supposed to give people hope. It's supposed to show people.
I'm not saying but they're trying does. To, but oh. What if we've seen some absolutely shocking, obvious, proud people out there who are happy to claim that they're white supremacists, who are happy to talk about these things.
Who?
Oh, I don't know, you know, people, know. You just, girls, boys, proud ones.
You can
stuff like that.
You can usually point them out when you're
somewhere. There's a bunch of them that surged the Capitol, and we're happy to talk about.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Sorry, I thought you were talking personally. That we knew.
No.
Actually,
what do we know?
I certainly know some people who are racist, but I don't know that I know anybody specifically that. Brittany, if you do that to your microphone, it will short circuit.
Sorry.
Don't do that.
She's a tart. See what she just did to her microphone.
Hey, wait a minute. You called me a tart before. How come she's a tart?
They're both tarts.
You're both tarts.
That's terrible.
I'm in the middle of a tart sandwich.
Yum. But this comes like into another one of my things that I'm really started to look into is a D.V. Cooper.
A what?
D.B. Cooper.
Oh, she What's loves that? This.
What's D.B. Cooper?
This has nothing to do with Nazis.
This has no. I'm just switching
I know,
gears,
kind
but it's super exciting.
We switch gears a lot.
But it's neat. It's a little it's a little missing persons-y for
but
sure.
But before we switch gears, I just want to play something here.
So. Yeah, go for it.
Let's just see if this will work. Okay?
All right.
Let's just
not too close to the mic.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm gonna put.
Is
it
that
very,
me?
I'm gonna put it very close to the mic.
Need a trace on somebody.
He's a confirmed Nazi sleeper agent in New York City.
We have no idea what his true mission was here.
The true scope of Hitler's forthright plans exposed.
Think about a nuclear bomb in New York. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of casualties.
CIA veteran Bob Baer reveals newly declassified documents.
How close did the Nazis come to attacking America and achieving global domination?
Hunting Hitler, the final chapter, Wednesday at 8, right here on the History Channel.
That's the show, and because that's what they basically came down, and I can
very sensationalized sounding though.
I would like that music to play all the time
when
I walk into rooms.
That can be arranged.
And now, here comes Tanya. I think it'd be awesome. Everyone would be so excited to see me.
Right.
Everyone would listen to this podcast.
Right.
We just play dramatic music, and we'll have like. Videos with lightning in the background. It'll be great.
Right? Let's see if
I can. Heavy water is one of the necessary components to making a nuclear weapon.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Very much so.
If we're going to find any evidence of heavy water, where should I look?
The best place to look is in this area.
So it says here, in July 2017... the investigative team zeroed in on evidence that could reveal the blueprint for Hitler's post-war Nazi fourth regime. And so this is like a scene where they're talking about the heavy water. It's crazy.
Watch Drain the Oceans,
yeah, Drain the
World
Ocean.
War II edition, because they tell you all about it.
Yeah, so they there's a part of it, the last, I want to say season two, was they found a bunch of their boats that were sunk somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're like, these shouldn't be here.
Yeah, it was in like a totally random
here.
Place.
This is like
random.
This shouldn't be here. Yeah. So it's crazy.
They also play dramatic music. Well, you'll like it.
Oh, and the bloke goes, And then they drain the ocean. And it's like, shut the fuck up, man.
You can tell it was seriously. Well, you can tell it was cut for commercial because they'll say it and then they'll say it again three seconds later.
It's so annoying.
Well, I feel bad really for the guy. Yeah, it was a really
good show. No idea that the Germans were actually, you know, on their way to building atomic warfare. I think they needed heavy water to do it.
Yeah, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
and it's a good thing they stopped because those guys would have used it a lot quicker.
We know they were because we had Einstein.
So the problem is when I was watching it, they were saying, okay, so you were making it here. There's proof of it. Where did it go? Because they don't know where the heavy water that was in these.
Oh, they destroyed everything that needed to make it.
How do you destroy heavy water?
You can destroy the factories that are producing it.
But they're saying that they had heavy water. It was there sitting ready to be used. Where did it go?
They destroyed the boat that was carrying it. That's why it was sitting at the bottom of that lake or whatever it was.
You think that that's where it went?
Yeah.
Well, arguably that
they went down there and looked at it. They put cameras down there.
Maybe. Okay.
Go watch the show.
Yeah.
The drain the ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Noted.
World War II version.
Noted. It's been noted. I'm going to message you tonight and be like, what was that show again?
That show.
Such a good show.
So, yeah. So, and then.
Yeah. Norwegian heavy water sabotage, if you want to wiki it.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm going to.
Yeah. I think actually a lot of the guys that were doing that were sort of, you know, going to blow it up, like they put their sacrifices forth for that. They really went above and beyond.
Mm-hmm. So, and then my next one is D.B. Cooper.
What's D.B. Cooper again?
So, D.B. Cooper, Dan Cooper, is an unidentified man who hijacked a Boeing 727 aircraft in United States airspace between Portland and Seattle. On the afternoon of November 24th, 1971, he extorted $200,000 in ransom, which is the equivalent to like $1.2 million now. And he parachuted to an uncertain fate because they never caught him.
Ooh, I'd never heard about this. That's interesting.
Yeah. Really like the story.
So, I was in Australia. I don't know anything about this stuff.
It's true.
So,
I'll tell you about the girls that disappeared.
Despite an extensive manhunt, a 45-year FBI investigation, no conclusion has ever been reached regarding this individual because they have no idea who he was. So I just watched
What was the date? It was 1971,
November 24th.
Okay.
And so he, when he was there, he was like dressed and he had like a necktie and stuff. And when, before he jumped, he took it off. And that was the only thing that they had that could even hold any DNA. So they've just been sitting on it, not doing anything with it. And the FBI had one man who they really thought could possibly be him. Because when he reached out to this one FBI investigator, she was retired. And when he inboxed her and he signed it DB, like, and he did it twice. And so they were convinced that, you know, where he went, the things that he did, like just the life that he lived, because I guess the parachute that they gave him was people that parachuted a lot were the ones that really knew how to use this particular one, and he had links to the jumping place where these parachutes were. So they were like, this man has to be it. And so they ended up doing DNA tests on the necklace or on the like neck thingy. And it's the first time in 45 years that they now have
an idea of who it is.
Who it is, because they have his DNA. It does not match the man that they think that it is, that they think, right? He's like 98 now. It's not him. But they are now saying that with all these people doing the DNA, like 23andMe and stuff like that.
Yep.
They're like, we have the ability to run this through everything, and we could find if this man, like, if he survived, which they did because they found money buried on a beach that matched the numbers on the bills that they gave him because they wrote that stuff down before they gave him
$200,000. Yeah, of course. Right? They have to trace it.
Yeah.
It's evidence.
And so, and they believe that that money that they gave him is actually probably still circulating in America today.
Wow. So, I've got to look that up. That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super, super cool. And it's just, you know, you dive into that rabbit hole and you're just like, this man pulled off the best heist.
Well, he at least he landed safely enough to bury the money. Mm-hmm. But then what happened to him? Because if he buried what he only buried, I think if you look at the wiki, it's like $20,000 or $200,000 or something like that. And it's like, so he only buried that much? That's unlikely. He probably buried it all and then went off and died somewhere or something like that. Don't you think?
I think that he might have buried. I think that what he did as like a saving his own ass, that if he were to get caught and he could come out and then he got released, he would come back and there would be money that he could come.
That's
back.
True. Yeah, that would be a sensible thing if to do. And I mean, I don't know how heavy that much money is. You know what I mean?
Probably very heavy. 200,000 would be a big duffel bag. You jump, and this just think you're jumping out of an airplane. You would hope you'd have a knife to cut off all this parachute stuff.
You just, yeah, it's right? comes off. It's not and like then, it's permanently yeah. attached to you. You just undo the harness.
I know that.
Shit, sorry. We can't carry out our tactics.
The movie would be
paratroopers
good
are fucked.
If he cut it with a knife he pulled out of his boot, though, while they played dramatic music maybe. And lightning flash in the background.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Listen, I don't jump out of airplanes, okay? So I know nothing about this stuff. But I'm just assuming that, you know, if I jumped out of an airplane and I had a 20...
He's carrying a duffel bag.
And like how he jumped out of an airplane and held on to that...
Yeah, was it really a duffel bag? Was it actually? Did he tie it to himself? Yeah, it's like when we.
Well,
I would have held on.
I
to
just
it.
Know
I
it's
have
a bag.
Tied it to me.
Mm. I assume that he probably tied it to him. But what if it just fell? And what if it didn't get buried at all? Like, what if it literally just got washed up on the beach because he died?
Some alligator in the Missouri
but
ate it.
Because I think because they found it not like when they were doing the man search or the like manhunt after he jumped, it was. Like newly buried, like it wasn't like something that they found years at, like, you know.
I thought they found it washed up or something. They found it.
It was when they were doing their manhunt.
Oh, so they know he at least.
So they know,
made it that far.
Yeah, and so now they're trying to figure out where did he land, because he most likely
probably
didn't,
near there,
right? But the idea that where they think that he landed to where this group that's currently doing research on it thinks that he landed, they are thinking that he might have landed closer into a forested area that was on a tree line. Not tree line. Train
line. Buried some, jumped on a train.
Yeah, and then hopped
and then
on the
hides.
Back. Yeah, and just went and hide. And then if you got that money... It's not like we have like had Facebook back then, right? You could go and disappear and you'd be gone. Go to Mexico. But
yeah, it'd be way easier back then to do that. Absolutely.
For sure.
I just need to go back to the 1940s. I'd just disappear.
Imagine what you could sort of steal.
1970s. Yeah.
Knowing what you know now.
Yeah.
Oh, so back to the future of you.
But like,
oh, I am. I love thinking about stuff like that. Yeah.
I do have to say that the rule, you know, break one law at a time still stands no matter what year you're in.
Yes. Like, and time travel is a different podcast.
Oh, yeah. Time travel.
Now, Arthur brought up the murders at Standing Rock.
Now, nobody knows what it is, but four teenage girls disappeared at Hanging Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people were saying that it was, you know, they walked through a portal and all sorts of stuff. But actually, apparently, when I looked at it, and I'm not actually sure if it's 100% fact. Anybody want to pull out their Google?
I already know.
Oh, and go ahead.
Oh, here we go.
I love debunking things.
It's your fave. You just like to ruin our excitement.
Destroying poor Brittany, Daniel.
I'm so sorry. No, because we've touched
love
on...
You too.
Someone who we know survived
mm-hmm.
and went missing
mm-hmm.
with DB there. Someone who, like Hitler, who we really don't think survived, but it's like, ooh, there's some titillating evidence
maybe.
There. And then we have the four girls who went missing at Standing Rock in Australia, which is a famous famous story. Mm-hmm. There's even a statue mm-hmm. of one of the girls at Standing Rock with like her arms out, like this really realistic like bronze statue that. And all this stuff.
I have to look it up.
People will actually talk about it and talk about, you know, the girls went missing and all this other stuff, which if it was true would be really horrifying and sad.
Mm-hmm.
However, what it actually was a woman who wrote a book.
Okay.
From the perspective of as if it was real. So she didn't write the book it was a novel, like she never intended for people to believe it, but she wrote it as a perspective of the girls had gone missing and now what has happened in the community around these missing girls and the mystery of how they disappeared. But the book was published after the woman died. So there wasn't even sort of and I wrote this book. I hope everybody likes it. Yeah. You know, it's top 10 in the bestsellers, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead.
Basis in reality. This is from the wiki again. Did I think the story was true? We did talk about this, but the truth for Joan was different to the rest of us. She was never straightforward about it. I think I decided in the end that it was a great work of imagination. I see it as a book of place, a painterly book that captures the atmosphere of the Australian bush.
So then it's not real?
No.
Yeah. Okay. It says Picnic at Hanging Rock is written in the form of a true story and even begins and ends with a pseudo-historical prologue and epilogue, reinforcing the mystery that has generated significant critical and public interest since its publication in 1967. However, while geological feature Hanging Rock and the several towns mentioned are actual places near Mount Macedon, the story itself is entirely fictitious.
And she did go to an all-girls school, which is where she drew a lot of her descriptions from. She actually went to school in St. Kilda's in Melbourne, which is where Arthur's
in
from.
St. Kilda.
Yeah. So the school was moved.
I am not from St. Kilda. I lived in it.
Sorry,
I'm
you
from
lived
Richmond.
In, you Just lived in St. Kilda.
Get it really right.
I don't know. They're all the same place, aren't they?
It's like saying,
it's over
oh
there.
My God, do I live in Toronto or Toronto? Like, come on, man.
No, that's the same place.
Is it though? Is it really?
That's actually
it...
the same place.
So then
he has no idea.
Okay, so then why don't, if we're going to talk about that, what about the Lost Boys of Pickering?
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to our podcast this week. Next week will be the part two to this. We figured it would be better to split it up so everyone could have some time to digest everything that we had to say in this episode. Next week's episode is going to be a little bit heavier, so I just wanted to let everybody know and give them fair warning. Thank you so much. We truly appreciate your support, and I hope you guys are having a wonderful evening. Thank you. Bye.